Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Good to see this number here on a Wednesday night. And we're glad you're here. We've heard you've had a good week this week and that the Lord's blessed. Some of you probably been here every night. We thank the Lord for that and your faithfulness. And the Lord has all that in record. We thank Him for that. Amen. I'm glad the pastor don't have to keep up with it, even though he likes to. And we don't have to keep up with it, even though we like to. But God keeps up with everything. And He considers our faithfulness top on the list. That's requiring a steward. Number one, he'd be found faithful. So I'm glad we can be faithful to him, but not just to him, but to the house of the Lord. Amen. If you're glad you're saved, say amen tonight. Amen. Amen. It's good to be. I tell you what, I've been nervous as a polecat because preach after Tommy Steele. What in the world? I thought, my goodness, now he's high on my list. We love Brother Tommy, and he's preached a couple meetings for us. Matter of fact, the last meeting, we had a youth meeting. Down near Winston, he preached. We had 34 saved that night. The Lord moved, and we just had a wonderful service that night. I'll never forget it, but we had a good time. And love Brother Tommy. Love Brother Tommy. He's unusual, isn't he? And he's got a way of captivating your attention. So we like that. I need that. Amen. A lot of kids say they got ADD and ADHD. I think I had all of them put into one. I tell all my kids at church, I say, take notes. And I say, not just because you want to look back on it later, because you need to pay attention, right? I said, so that's a good way to pay attention, is take notes. And if a preacher says, write this down, I say, write it down. That way you'll be paying attention. So I thank God for preachers that'll captivate you, you know? And Brother Steele is like that. And we love him, and we thank the Lord for him. But glad you're here tonight. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Glad my family's with me tonight. My wife named Tabitha. And we've been married for 10 years. We'll be this year, this coming December. And then Caitlin is 7. Elijah's 5. Annabelle is 3. And Elizabeth is getting ready to turn 1. So we have them every 2 years. Everybody says, you're going to have another one whenever it comes time? Well, we probably will. We probably will. We don't know what it's like not to have any little ones around. So we'll just keep them coming. The Lord bless, if that be the Lord's will. We love children. And it might be the water, brother. I don't know if it's the water on the mountain or what it is. But whenever we first got married, my wife's dream was to have a bunch of youngins. And so I don't know if it was the mountain water or if we just, I don't know, arrived at like-minded people or something. You know how the Lord works. But there is a lot of children up there, and we thank the Lord for that. We've been on the mountain the 4 years this year, December 2012. The Lord led us there on the mountain. We've had a wonderful time there of growing and helping and seeing the soul saved, the Lord work, and just mighty things happening. Pray for us. Pray for us on the mountain. The Lord get glorified and everything that goes on. We just bought a piece of land off of the mountain. I know some of y'all might have known that or not, might not have known that, but be praying about that. We're in no hurry or no rush to put up a building, but the land came available, and it was a really good deal at what it is, a 900-foot road frontage, a mile from 421. I will be early to church every time the doors are open now. Nobody else has that problem, I say. But it'll be amazing. If you've never, how many of you have never been to Cherry Grove? Have never been to Cherry Grove Baptist Church? So you have no idea what I'm talking about. See, a lot of people say you go down 115 and then you just go up the mountain, but they don't tell you it's 5 miles in the mountain. We're not on the mountain. You go on the mountain, then you go in the mountain to get to Cherry Grove. So we're in the mountain. So it's a big deal. You know, the Lord's blessed and got us that land there. A mile from 421. We'll feel like this is a city church now. Praise the Lord. Y'all got a Dollar General. Right? I mean, you can see the lights right there, you know? And I'm sure many of you have took advantage of that at nighttime, haven't you? I need something. You ain't got to run all the way to Walmart. Praise the Lord. You can just step outside and go down there and grab your diapers or whatever. That's like me, you know, grab diapers, baby wipes, and toilet paper or whatever you need. It's right there at the front door. Praise God. So you're a city church now, brother. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. But Ephesians chapter number 2, thank God for you. Thank God for y'all coming here tonight. Very familiar scripture. I pray you'll get a blessing out of this. What caught my mind on this message, and I've been pondering on a while, I was with Daniel Buchanan, a good friend, and he made a statement. And he made a statement that said this, and the Lord put that in my heart. I was chewing on a while. The Lord gave me this message. He said, if you'll put Jesus in his right place, and he said, what makes heaven heaven is that Jesus is on the throne. And he said, you put Jesus on the throne of your life, and you can have a little bit of heaven on earth. And that stuck with me, you know. And we love Brother Daniel. He's going to be preaching our revival in September. Y'all pray for him. But that stuck with me. The Lord added to that and added to that thought. So I pray that you'll help me tonight praying. And I pray that you'll get a blessing tonight. And that this will make sense. And you can grasp a hold of it. I heard there's been some saved this week. And some rededicated their life. And so now I'm thinking, Lord, help me, you know, that I don't blow it. Y'all ever think like that? And I think, Lord, help me that I'd give the right thing to end on, you know? And that you could go away and you would say, that whole revival helped me and touched me. And that we could all be one step closer to Jesus. And that's the main thing, isn't it? And the main thing is Jesus. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, in verse number 1, let's start reading. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened," which means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." If you've been born again, you can put your name right there in that verse, can't you? "And saith," that's what he can say right there, "and saith hath he quickened, who was dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." I've got that underlined. If you underline things, I like how it says in verse 4, he's rich in mercy. That means that he won't run out of it. That means his mercies are renewed every morning, the psalmist said. And he can give mercy when we need mercy. Even when we don't want it, he still gives it. And then in verse 7, he says he shows the exceeding riches of his grace. So we know he's rich in mercy, but he's also rich in grace. And James said in his epistle, he said, but he giveth more grace, right? And then whenever we think we've had enough grace, he gives us more grace, and he don't run out of grace. He shows the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, you see, through Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In what? In the good works, you see. And this is just Paul talking to Ephesians here, the church at Ephesus, and he's having to remind them of their salvation and how it comes about, right? And he says, you were dead, but now you're made alive. And God's given you mercy, and God's given you his grace, and it's nothing that you've done. It's all about what Jesus has done. It's all about Jesus. I love that. It's not about me. It's not about you, but it's all about Jesus. Now, verse number 6, let's look at that, and we'll pray. The Bible says, let's look at verse number 4. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ," right? So Christ being alive. When we're born again, we are made alive. Aren't you glad? I don't know. Somebody was talking the other day at work about the king has been dead for 39 years. And I didn't know what they were talking about. They were talking about Elvis, and he was pre my time. And I thought, the king's been dead for 39 years. Well, you know me. I'm born again. I love the Lord. The first time, if I hear king, I think about Jesus. And when they said he'd been dead 39 years, I said, wait a minute. My king, the one that I know that you're talking about being dead, he's not dead. And as a matter of fact, he's never been dead. He's alive forevermore. And he sat on the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for you and me. But Christ being alive and always alive, him being the first fruit of us being resurrected, we've been made alive with him, right? In verse number 6, he's talking about what's going to happen, but we can say what's happening right now. Verse number 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, we know that one day we're going to be raised and this body's going to take on, this mortal body's going to take on immortality. We're going to live forever. We're going to sit with Jesus forever, right? But he's not talking about that now. Then he says in verse number 7 that in the ages to come, you see, he's talking about things that are going to come and things that are going to happen. But in verse number 6, he said, and hath raised us up together. Thank God he raised me up. Thank God if you've been born again, you were dead. You were half dead. Physically, you were alive. Spiritually, you were dead. You know, the man on the Samaritan road, when the good Samaritan stopped there beside him and said they saw him and he was half dead. And that's just like you and me. We were half dead. But God, in his great love, verse number 4, wherewith he loved us when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. How is that? Because the ever-living God lives inside of me. And you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Let's pray that God would help us today and help us to see what he has for us in these scriptures. Lord, help us. God, we need you. Lord, we count a privilege just to come before the throne room of where you're at. God, we're unworthy. The psalmist David said, remember our frame that we are of but dust. God, we know you're everything. We know you created all. We know you're here with us tonight. God, we know your word is real. Your word's true. Father, we know it's that because of if we've applied it to our hearts, it's transformed us. Help us tonight, I pray, God, as we look into the ever-living and ever-loving Word of God, that it would come alive and it would help us tonight. Be with me, I pray, God. I'm but a man. I need clarity of speech, clarity of thought. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. But he says, hath raised us up together. So he talks about we will be raised up with him and will reign with him and will sit with him, in verse number 6, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But even now, the Bible talks about we've been raised up. We've been a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. 1 Peter verse number chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have been called out from the world, and we've been called to be a royal priesthood. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. I believe that the Pope's not the closest person to the Lord. I believe that everyone has a choice on how close they want to be to the Lord. And we've been called out, we've been called by God through Jesus Christ to be with him and to sit with him, even in this world, in heavenly places. He talks about how we can have fellowship with him. We can have fellowship alone with him. We can have fellowship through prayer, through reading of the Word of God. And he says in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So he has allowed himself to come to where we're at. What an amazing thing. He has allowed for us to have a taste, just a small taste, of what heaven will be like. Isn't that amazing? So what will heaven be like? And we all have those thoughts, don't we? What's heaven going to be like? Well, I think some things, you ask people, what do you think? What's going to make heaven heaven? They'd say, no work. Man, I don't have to work. I'm not going to have to work anymore. And Revelation talks about that, how their labors are ceased. No work. Man, we can praise the Lord and thank God for that. You know, praise God, I won't have to work, right? Physically, as we know work, we won't have to do that anymore. But what about those that don't work? They don't feel like it's heaven here. You see? You'd ask someone, what do you think makes heaven heaven? They'd say, no sickness. Won't it be great? No more cancer, no more oxygen tanks, brother, no more these bodies that we have to worry about and deal with. We won't have that anymore. Amen. Won't have to wake up in the morning with your throat scratching, your nose running. No more sickness. I'd say thank God for that. But what about those that have never been sick? They'd say, no, that's not what's going to make heaven heaven. No separation. Man, what's going to make heaven heaven is we're not going to be separated. We're going to be with our family and our loved ones and those that are born again. We're going to be at church all the time, right? That's going to make heaven heaven. But what about those that never been separated? You know, they'd say that's not what's going to make heaven heaven. So what will make heaven heaven? I've just got a couple things, five things. As a matter of fact, five truths I wrote down about heaven that we can live by in our walk on earth, and that will give us a little bit of heaven on earth. I don't believe that God is a God that would have us be here in total misery. I don't believe that. I believe he's put us here for a reason, a purpose, and I believe we're in that purpose, and whenever we're doing what we're supposed to, that we can have a little taste Now, don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm preaching some, you can have heaven here and heaven is earth. I don't believe that. I believe Revelation, there'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth. I believe old things will be made new. We don't even understand what it's going to be like. I believe whenever John saw it in Revelation, he started pinning those things down. I don't even know if he even knew what he was seeing. I think he just compared things to things. I think he saw the street of gold and said, it looks like transparent gold. That's the closest thing I can relate to. You know, if he was from the south or Wilkes County, he'd say, it's got rubies on the walls of it, size of hubcaps. You know, I don't know what else to compare it to. So I'm not trying to preach that this is heaven. No, 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 friend. If this is heaven, I'm in a world of hurt. If this is heaven, you're in a world of hurt. But God's promised us a place in John chapter 14. He says, I go to prepare your place, and if I go, I will come again. Well, he's went, and we're just waiting on the second part. And whenever I come back, I'm going to take you with me. That's what he said. Where I am, there you may be also. Amen. But what makes heaven, heaven? Five truths tonight that if we can live by and we could go by, I believe we can have a little bit of taste of heaven on earth. At home, at work, all alone, at church. We could have a little bit of taste. Have you ever been in one of those services just feel like heaven sets in? And you go home, you try to explain it to somebody that wasn't there, and you don't. They look at you cross-eyed like you don't even know what they're talking about. They don't know what you're talking about. You ever been there? And you just say, you just had to be there. Then you call up the pastor, you say, praise God, man, what a service. He's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I mean, God moved in. He's like, yeah, and you got that relation there. But you try to tell other people, they have no idea what you're talking about. No idea. What about this? Let's look at this. We take a glimpse into heaven just to see what heaven is and see what heaven's going to be like. If we take a glimpse into heaven, Daniel Buchanan gave me this first point. I believe, number one, we'd see Jesus on the throne. What makes heaven, heaven? Jesus. There's a song that says, if walls were not jasper, and if streets there aren't gold, and if mansions would crumble, and folks there grow old, still I'd see everything I've been longing to see. Oh, but Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. And that's Jesus on the throne. Number one, Jesus on the throne. So if we'd put Jesus on the throne of our life, we could have just a small taste of what heaven would be like. What's revival? Revival is a renewed obedience to the Word of God. It's to get you back going again, won't it? So I believe if we get a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like, incorporate that into our walk and our life here on earth, hey, that'd give us a little bit of revival. Well, what we have to do if we see Jesus on the throne, number one, we must dethrone ourselves. Right? We must dethrone ourselves, our wants. The world is hung on the Word of God. You ever thought of that? We talk about in school, and I don't know what they say now, but they say it's on an axis, and it rotates. And I'm like, an axis? And so through school, I thought, okay, you got the North Pole and the South Pole. And so I thought this. I know y'all probably thinking, you crazy loon. But I thought, well, that pole sticking out up top and up bottom because the world's on an axis. And it's spinning like that, you know? And that was my thought. But you ever thought about this? The world is hung on the Word of God. God said world, poo, and there it is. And it's hung there for how many years? 6,000 some years now. Hung on the Word of God. It's revolving around the sun. What a beautiful picture of the sun being Jesus Christ and the world being the world, dark world, and the moon being a reflection of the sunlight on a dark world. Man, well, you could preach that too, couldn't you? And we talk about that, and the Lord made all that. And the earth, it revolves on itself, on the Word of God, and around the sun, it doesn't revolve around us. We had a fellow that lived with me for 9 months, and he got sick and tired of hearing me say that. I'd say, William, where's the earth spinning? He'd say, what are you talking about? I said, it's not around you, right? Because he was stuck on himself. But when I would tell him that same thing, the Lord would hit my heart and say, what about you, buddy? So don't we think that? Man, we think everything's supposed to go our way. We think we're supposed to get everything that we want. We got the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We want the biggest and the baddest, don't we? Yeah, we do. We're made of stinking flesh. And every one of us is prideful. And every one of us thinks that we're the number one thing in the world. And if we're going to have a taste of heaven, we're going to have to realize our flesh is weak, flesh, worldly, and we got to deal with it. Listen, when I got born again, my flesh did not get born again. No, no, no. I still have to battle and deal with this thing. And if your flesh got born again, something happened to you that didn't happen to me. When I got born again, the Spirit of God came inside me and revived me and made me a new living creature. But I still got to deal with this old flesh. And I still got to every day dethrone self and say, you're not number one. Christ is number one. So we got to kick self off the throne and make much of Jesus. Ain't that what Tommy Steele said? You go in his church and it says on his floor mats, make much of Jesus. Make much of Jesus. We got to say our pleasures. And I'm just trying to help us realize that, man, we think a lot of self. Our pleasures. We work for money to pay for houses that we don't get to be in because we work all the time so we can afford them. You can think about that. I work in big, nice houses. I paint houses for a living. I told them whenever we were having our last child, Elizabeth, we were in the hospital and these ladies would come in and they'd introduce themselves. And they'd give me some long title, you know. And I'd say, what do you do? And one lady said, well, I answer the phone for the doctor. Well, man, you got a big title to be a operator, you know. Another lady walked in and she told what she was doing and she gave some big what she was. And I said, okay, well, what do you do? And she said, well, I file papers. I said, man, that's a big name for a filing cabinet. And so I started thinking about me. I said, I'm just a painter. You know? So we had a little time to sit there in the hospital. And I looked at her tab. I said, I got to come up with a new name. I said, painter just don't cut it. So my brother had no idea what I was talking about. And I was texting him back and forth. And I said, I'm a design coordinator. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, but I specialize. See, don't that sound better? I specialize in liquid colorant application. So now people ask me, what do you do? I say, well, I'm a design coordinator. And I specialize in liquid colorant application. And they're like, oh, okay. You know? Don't that sound better than painter? You know? Anyways, we work in some nice homes. They'll give us a key to go in or tell us where the key is or give us that keypad on the garage and go in, and they're never at home. We work for a man up at the lake. He's got a beautiful home, and he's never there. I said, where are you at, man? If I was here, I'd be sitting on the back deck and enjoying this view over the lake. And he said, I got to work all the time. I said, ain't that something? We got to work all the time to afford the things that we have, but we don't even get to enjoy them because we work all the time. God help us. We got to keep up with the Joneses, but you know the Joneses are broke too. Hope nobody here names Jones. We got the Jones family up at the church, and Larry Brown was up there, and he said something about the Joneses. He said, you got any Joneses here? And somebody raised their hand. He said, man, you got any Smiths here? And somebody raised their hand. He said, goodness. Y'all know little Larry Brown. He said, you got any? And he started naming off names, and we had one of all of them. He goes, goodness. He said, anybody got any stinky fingers? He said, okay, I'm going to stick with that name, Mr. Stinky Finger. God help us. But the Joneses, we got to keep up with the Joneses, don't we? All because we like it. Man, we'll work for something just because not because we want it, because we like it. And there's a lot of things we buy, we don't even know why we buy. You know, when those boat shoes come out, you know what I'm talking about? We used to call them penny loafers whenever I was little, but Daddy used to have something stick a penny in them. I thought it was pretty cool myself, but then they come out with the boat shoes. Whenever those came out, I thought those were the weirdest, ugliest things in the world. Then you know what happened? I bought a pair. Y'all like that? Just because everybody else had them. And I wore them out. I mean, they're pretty comfortable, but I started thinking, what am I doing? God teach you a lesson in everything, won't he? And we're going to get what we want. Everybody's going to get what they want. They're going to work for it. They're going to spend their whole life to get what they want. A wise man once told me, if God wants you to have it, he'll give it to you. God help us. Make much of Jesus. We got to dethrone self. We got to enthrone Christ. We got to put him back on the throne of our lives. We got to get up not thinking about, well, I got to go fishing today. Well, I got a buddy bought a bass boat. Man, I'm going to buy a bass boat, and I'm gonna go all the time. He's been twice the whole year. I said, man, you can rent them for $150 a day. Why in the world would you do that? I got to pay for it, you see? Aren't we all like that? God help us. We got to enthrone Christ. We got to say, Lord, it's your way. You're the only way. It's his way. We got to live by his word. Go where he says go. Live how he is meant for us to live. Put Jesus back in the right place. Don't you remember right when you got saved and Jesus was the only thing you could think about? You'd sing, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so, because Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And now we've got stuff. And we've got things. And our vision has become blurry because of stuff and things. But really it's self. And what we've did, but preacher, I go to church. I know. And thank God for that. Don't quit that. Preacher, I even go Wednesday night. Thank God for that. And I go on visitation. Thank God for that. And I even read my Bible every once in a while. Thank God for that. And I'll pray over my food. Thank God for that. And I even give my tithes. Well, thank God for that. But what about your relationship with the Lord? And what about where he's at? And is he preeminent in our lives? Is he on the throne? Every once in a while, we ought to get up, look in the mirror and say, you stinking, no good for nothing. God's going to live in you. And you're going to obey his word. It'd do good for all of us to do that, wouldn't it? You say, I don't stink. That's because you wear deodorant. Praise God. All of us stink. We got to deal with this flesh. Listen, it's God's way or no way. The Bible says that even the spirit, he lusteth to envy. He wants to rule you. He wants to control you. We say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's the reason why you don't have revival, church. It's because you've kicked him off the throne of our lives. God help us. Let's put him back on the throne. Put him back on the throne. Number two, if I was in heaven and looking in heaven, number one, I'd see Jesus on the throne. Number two, I'd see that all eyes are looking towards Jesus. We're not looking at each other. I'm not looking at what he's wearing or what she's wearing or how they add up or how much are they reading their Bible or what did they bring to the dinner? They didn't bring enough to the... I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at Jesus. I've got all our eyes are on Jesus. We're not going to worry about how'd they get here or what'd they do. I can't believe they made it. We're going to say, ain't he beautiful? Look at him. Oh, look at those hands. Look at those feet. And he's sinless and he died for me. And he took a beating and he didn't have to. I was the one that's supposed to took it. Look at him. Would you look at him? All of our eyes will be on him. We won't be worried about who's in charge because we'll know who's in charge. Won't we? We'll all be in submission to God's authority. I believe if we'd have a little taste of heaven on earth, number one, we put Jesus back on the throne of our lives. Number two, we'd submit to the authority that he's placed in our lives. That'll help you. You know that God has placed and he's ordered authority in our lives for a reason. It's for order. He's a God of order and for peace. You know, whenever you're in order and whenever things are in a submissive order in God's order, then there's peace. There's peace. What about, number one, the Word of God? God's Word, that's a sole authority for every believer's life. And that's where we get our order. And we're all under subjection to the Word of God, aren't we? And that's the reason why our country is out of order, is because we've took God's Word out of it. And we don't even know what bathroom. Isn't that ridiculous? I know y'all have heard that 100 times, but that's what it brings. You take God's Word out of it, now you've got some that don't believe and don't know, and now they're having meetings and spending millions of dollars just to worry about what bathroom to use. What if we'd say, let's get back to the Word of God, folks? Do you know Papua New Guinea, they just ordered for everyone there. They made the Bible, the King James Version Bible, the book of Papua New Guinea. And they're wanting every household to have a Bible. And they got together and God raised up a man just like he did Mordecai's day and Esther and raised up a man and he's a believer. And he said, we've got to get the Word of God into every home. And God's using him. And Papua New Guinea's right now is in a revival. And God's moving. I'll tell you what, we think America is the only one that God can use, but if we'll turn our back on God, God will have another people, and he'll raise up another people. But all eyes are on Jesus, and he give us his word. And if we'd follow his word and submit to his word, we can have a little taste of heaven on earth. It's not what, listen, preacher gets up here every Sunday, every Wednesday and preaches, and you think, he's just telling me to do that. No, he's realized that if we'd fall in love with the work of the Lord, and we'd fall in love with the Lord, and we'd fall in love with the Word of God, you could have peace in your home. Whenever he sits down and counsels with families and with young men and young ladies, and he tries to tell you, read the Bible, this is what the Word of God says. This will change your life. The reason he's done that is because he's realized, hey, it will change your life. Don't get mad at him. And number one, we've got God's word. Number two, we've got parents. Man, we tell all of our kids that, church. And every one of them can quote, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Right? And why do we have that? Because it brings peace, don't it? That don't bring peace in my house. I tell you, at my house, if I didn't fall in love with order, it was far from peace. It was more like war. Yeah. And then it was peace. Daddy demanded peace. And I remember him saying that. We're going to have peace around here. I didn't question it. I didn't question his authority. I said, God put you, I didn't know this, but I was knowing it. God put you in my life as my authority, and I'm going to submit to it. Number one, for fear. Fear of the belt. Praise God. But it helped, didn't it? Number two, I didn't want to hurt his feelings too bad. Right? But God's put those order in our lives for a reason. For a reason. Number three, your pastor. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. Ain't that something? Why is it he cares about you so much? And why is it God's put him in authority over you? Because he lays awake at night worried about your soul. I'm just a youth pastor. And people say, you going to pastor? And I say, I hope not. Honestly. Them youngins will drive you crazy. And I mean, some of them will have boyfriend, girlfriend every other week. And I'll tell them, you're wrong. I tell them, you're wrong. You're against God. You're wrong. You need to get serious about serving God. Well, what about, I'm not ever going to find anybody else. Now, I'll agree with them. You know, you probably won't. You're ugly. And you just need to worry about serving God now. You know? Don't break their heart. Oh, there's somebody out there for you. Don't tell them that, you know? I mean, just tell them, well, if you do, you better praise God because that's grace, son. You know? And you need all the help you can get, right? But they'll drive you crazy. And I lay awake at night and I think, God, what are they doing tonight? You know? Then they'll come in playing with their phones, and that drives me crazy. I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Now they've got the whole world at their fingertips. I lay awake at night thinking, God, just shelter them. God, help them. And I'm not over many. I couldn't imagine being a pastor. Goodness gracious. I wouldn't sleep. I'd be living off Red Bull and coffee grains. That'd be, yeah. I couldn't. I couldn't sleep. I'd be thinking, God, you have to help them. You're going to have to help me to help them. Show me what can I feed them? They need it. I've got to watch for them. I've got to feed them. And Lord, if I tell them the truth, they're going to get mad at me. Help them not to get mad at me. Help them not to leave the church and cause a sin. And this goes through I know this, you see. But why should I obey him? Because the Word of God says so. And if you will, it brings peace and it brings order. When we're submission to the authority God's placed in our lives, it brings peace. Ask the believer, ask the children, and the church that's moving forward, and they'll all have the same answer. They've submitted to the God-given authority that's been placed in their lives. Get a little taste of heaven. Realize that authority's been placed in your life for a reason. Don't fight with authority. Say, God, thank you for that authority. We've raised a generation now, and I don't know how you stand on this, but I'll tell you my stance. How about that? I thank the Lord for the cops that come by my house. And the sheriff's department, all those guys that come by my house, I thank the Lord for them. But we've raised a generation, we're as guilty as all the others, that when we see it, we're like, oh, cop, oh, police, oh, you know, there they are, oh, goodness, let's hide. No, 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 no. We try to tell our kids, I say, hey, they're on our side. Hey, I'm not going to break the law. Hey, if I need help, they're going to help me. Thank God for them, right? And God's put that in our lives for a reason. That was free. We'll throw that in there. How about that? All right, if we want a little taste of heaven on earth, number one, we've got to put Jesus on the throne. Number two, we've got to get all of our eyes on Jesus. We got to submit to authority and realize the authority in our life has been put there for a reason. Number three, we got communication with Jesus. Won't that make heaven heaven? You get to talk to Jesus. Daddy asked me these philosophical questions every once in a while. And he says, Seth, do you think when we get to heaven, we'll pray? I'm like, what kind of question's that, Dad? How do you answer that question, you know? Y'all had Brother Steele. He can answer that question, you know. I said, I don't know. What's prayer? He said, well, it's talking to God. I said, I believe we're going to do that. I said, I believe we'll have prayer in heaven. I believe we'll be able to talk to him. You know, it gets you thinking, don't it? But we'll be communicating with Jesus. You know, there's some people that just feel like they, or you see them and you're having a bad day and they're floating. Y'all got them kind of people, you're like, maybe it's just me. We'll go to work and there's some people just, hey, buddy, good to see you. I'm like, man, don't you realize gas is $4 a gallon? You know? And hamburgers more, you know? And I can't afford to buy milk anymore. And they're just like, ain't it good? And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Y'all have any people like that? And then you get around, they start whistling, and they're having a good time, and they come over and tell you, hey, let me tell you about this verse I read. Y'all got people like that? And then you start grabbing on, man, maybe they're doing something that I'm not. Maybe they're talking with Jesus. Maybe they're setting time apart where they can talk to Him and He can talk to them. And things are going bad. I mean, the world could blow up, and they're whistling. I'm thinking, what's wrong? The man cleaning out the port-a-john, whistling the other day. That's got to be the worst job in the world. I'm sorry if any of y'all do that. Bless you. They're whistling. I'm like, man, that's all right, you know? I shouldn't have a bad day at all. Thank the Lord, you know? But what's it? They've got a hold of something. I believe they're talking with the Lord, communicating with the Lord. Praying is us talking to God. And reading the Word of God is God talking to us. See, a lot of times we think, well, He's going to, and He can. Don't get me wrong, but God can talk any way He wants to. He's God. But we think, man, God spoke to me in that storm, you know? Or God spoke to me, but it don't storm all the time. And God spoke to me in that tornado, but I've never been in one. And God spoke to me in that forest fire, I've never been in one. You know what Elijah said? It wasn't there, but he was looking for it, wasn't he? It wasn't in the real bad winds. It wasn't in the tornado. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the earthquake. He said, then a still small voice came by. Spoke to me. He's given us the Word of God. And if we'd read that Word, He'd talk to us, wouldn't He? He'd talk to us through His Word. Everything seems to be okay when we commune with the one who's in charge, don't it? We can have a little taste of heaven. And how? How? Just communicating with the Lord. Things go upside down and not how we think they ought to go. You go to the doctor and get a bad report. I took my blood pressure the other day and my wife told somebody, man, I've had all kinds of people telling me, you're going to have a stroke. You can't eat bacon. I said, you're of the devil. You can't tell people that. You know? But we'll go, we have a good day, then you take your blood pressure. You take your blood, and it's just like, man. Ain't that awful? And it just ruins your day. Seems like your whole day's ruined. But if you just take a little time and talk with Jesus, if you just pray, if you just get the Word out and read it just a little while and let God speak to you through that Word, you'd say, you know what, it's all right. Casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. And after you read that Word and you apply it and you stick it in your mind and in your heart, you go out saying, it'll be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Hey, it's all right. Then you clean out port-a-john. You whistle about Jesus, the love of God. Just think about this. We have direct access to the throne of God. And God can speak and direct us through His Word and His Spirit. But do we take advantage of that? You know, I'm going to be ashamed when I get to glory and I see Moses and I see Elijah and I see all those men there. And they didn't have a direct access. They had to kill something, shed his blood out, and cause a mess, and then they had somebody that could talk to God for them. But couldn't you imagine when you get there and they say, man, you got to talk directly to God. I bet you done that all the time. Wow. Man, you had God's Word written down and everything that He wanted you to know. I bet you kept that thing in your pocket, didn't you? Wow. What are we going to say? Well, I had to work. Well, the yard had to be mowed. Well, I woke up late. Well, I fell asleep. Well, the Super Bowl was on. Listen, if we want just a little taste of heaven on earth, we're going to have to do some things. We've got to put some things back in their place. What about this? Number four, I'm going to have to hurry. Number four, married to the right one. Praise God. What would make a little bit of heaven on earth? Hey, when we get to glory, we're going to have a big old marriage. And the bride of Christ is going to get married to the groom, right? Which is Jesus. And there's not to be no mess up. I'm going to marry him. You think, that's weird. I know, but I don't understand it, but I like it. I just know I'm going to be together with him. He's going to take care of everything. And it's going to be all right? We're going to be united forever. We're going to be married to the right one. You know what will make a little bit of heaven on earth? You married to the right one. Right here is right hound to the young people. It's not married. I'd say, you make sure. You tell them all the bad things about you. Yeah. Girls, when you go see a fella, don't put no makeup on. He comes, picks you up, take you out to eat. Just like that. Just all natural. Yeah. Here I am. They'd be like, is so-and-so there? I mean, guys, don't comb your hair. We take a lot of time to do something look like this, you know? Wear your work clothes. Don't put on no deodorant. Yeah. Yeah, you'll see what happens then, won't you? If they say, man, you'd say, it's all natural, honey. And this is in the flesh, 100% me, you know? What you see is what you get right here, right? Then you'll know what you get. No, don't do that, bro. You'd be like, son, my kid, you won't ever get married. But we'll be united forever with the Lord. We'll be, you know, being married to the right one here on earth can sure make for a little bit of heaven on earth. You say, well, I didn't marry the right one. We'll make it the right one. You know? Too late. Make it what you make it. The choice is yours. My wife's told me 100 times it's embedded in my head. I don't know who told her. I need to go find them. But she said this, you can only change one person. And that person's you. That's helped me, hasn't it? I don't need to worry about everybody else. I need to worry about me. Men, listen, we got to treat her. I've often thought of this. If we're to be married to the Lord, you know how we like to be treated by Him. You know? We like for Him to come when we're reading the Word of God and speak to us. We like to feel protected. We like to feel like everything's going to be okay, don't we, with the Lord? You know that's what we ought to be with our wife? Everything the Lord shows us is how we ought to show to her. Right? Make it the right one. Some say we have a bad marriage. Make it good. If you're not married, pray and rely on the Lord for Him to find the right one for you. I've got some friends that have never been married, and they're in a tizzy. I never get married. I say, listen. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Don't worry about it. Paul's never married. There's great men, great ladies, they never got married. You'll be all right. Whatever God's will is, you'll be all right. You want a little taste of heaven? Make marriage sweet. Make marriage sweet. You don't know what I deal with. You don't know what I live with. No, bless his heart. You don't understand. No, I don't. I don't. But make it what you can make it. Make it the best. You don't know what he says about me. You probably add to it, honey. You know? You don't know how he treats me. How you treat him. But you don't know. She don't even cook for me. Go buy her something to eat. You know? Make it. There's a lot of people. And the reason I put this in here is I've got friends, and that's all they talk about. Their marriage is awful. I say, God help us. You'll ruin your whole life fussing with somebody. Make it good. All she wants is stuff. Give it to her. Pray God will change her heart. You see? Don't fight. When you push at something, it pushes back. Don't do that. We've got to have a little heaven on earth, don't we? There's some things we can do. What about this last, and I'll be done. Forgiveness. We're in heaven. We look and we see Jesus on the throne. All eyes are on Jesus. We're submitted to His authority. We can communicate with Him. We're going to marry Him. Right? Man, we're happy, aren't we? And then we look around and we realize we've all been forgiven. Nobody's greater than anybody. And that one that's on the throne forgave all of us. Forgiveness. 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 We got to realize that we've been forgiven and we must forgive others. There's a lot of people, and we can do 1 through 4. And we're good with that. Preacher, we're fine. We're going to have a little bit of heaven on earth, and we can do all those things, but we're living a defeated life because we can't forgive. Or we're unwilling to forgive. But again, you can't change anybody but yourself. You don't know what they said to me. Listen, we've all been through under the bus. We've all been beaten down. We've all been talked about. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, never mind when people talk bad about you, because if they really knew you, it'd be a lot worse. You know? Haven't we all been there? We've been beat down. We've been threw under the bus, lied about, done wrong, been made fun of. If you're breathing, you've been there. You don't know what they did to me. Listen, I know. Man, I lived for, it was just a couple years ago. I was realizing people talk. I'm thinking, what? What? No. All right. Huh? Man, that hurts, don't it? You think, oh, if I could find them in a dark alley somewhere, we'd be all right, you know? And then you get around them or you see them in a restaurant and your food tastes old. They're looking at me, aren't they? Then here comes the Port-a-John cleaner whistling. You know what I'm talking about. And you're like, how can you whistle? You've never been done wrong, you know? But don't it kill us? I mean, it just makes you feel like, oh. Listen, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Peter said, Lord, how many times? I mean, it's going to have to be where I can go back on them. 7 times? Can we do that, Lord? That'd be all right. Forgive him 7 times. Then after that, will it work? Huh? 7? Can we do 7? He said, how about this? 70 times 7. Don't you know Peter's heart sank down? He said, I can't do that. I can't forgive him. I want to knock his face off. Right? I think women are worse. I'll scratch her eyes out. Yeah. I'll run over her with a car. Right? And when I say that, there's people that pop in your mind, isn't it? And you know it. You think, if I had my way, and can I tell you what? It's killing you. And you'll never have a taste of heaven on earth unless you forgive them. Forgive them. We get to glory. Won't it be something? I know there's people that's talked junk, I mean, awful about me. Awful about me. I believe they're born again. We're going to be in heaven together. And I'm going to look at them and I'm not going to even worry about it. Actually, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to be glad they're there. Like, man, we're all forgiven. We're here. He's on the throne. Ain't this good? You know? But all of, man, we could do 1 through 4, but that forgiveness. Oh, what a joy to forgive and not let the awful disease of bitterness set up in our hearts. God help us that we'd forgive. What about this lost friend? Maybe you're here tonight. You've never been forgiven. See, we've got to forgive. We've got to be forgiven. Then we've got to forgive. You'll never even have a taste of heaven here on earth unless you've been born again. You'll see people out at the bars and you'll see people at the ball games and they're, man, it don't get no better than this. You're exactly right. That's as good as it's going to get for you. They look at each other and they half drunk. Man, it don't get no better than this. You just need to say, you're exactly right. You stay lost, that's as good as it's going to get. Won't get no better, man. You're living the best right now that you'll ever live. Unless you give your life to the Lord. That's as good as it gets. Listen, if we're born again, it gets better. What's the old song says? Every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm living for every day with Jesus. But how do I have a little bit of heaven on earth? You're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to forgive. That man at work that you don't like, that guy that's at the checkout counter that you just don't like, that man that's at the doors when all the packaging and stuff, and I'm saying this because this happened to me. I hate it. I worked down at the planogram just for a little while. And there was a guy there that, honestly, you'd roll them, whatever you call it, you set them crates down, and he'd be like, that's the wrong spot. I'm like, you just told me to put it there, man. Well, that's the wrong spot. You listen to me. I'm over this department. I'm like, sorry. So I'd move it, you know, and I'd be like, he's there today. Yeah, you know, I'm not always sweet. I want to be, you know. I mean, you just walk up to him and say, I love you in the Lord. And that's what we did. You won't believe. We had a problem with him. So he said, hang on, before we move any crates, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go tell him we appreciate his job and ask him where we need to put these at. Blew his mind. We went to him and he saw us coming. You know, he's like, you know, had that look. We come up and said, hey, buddy, you know, whatever his name was. I can't remember now. Man, listen, we're so glad that you control this down here. You've got it so organized. And we've got some crates to come. Where do you want us to put them at? I know you've got just the right spot. And he was like, well, thank you. Matter of fact, you can put it, he was our best friend. Ain't that something? I even thought, I was like, man, I shouldn't have thought all them bad things about him. We all like that, you know? So whoever it is, listen, just go up and say, listen, just tell, I want a little bit of heaven on earth. I'm going to forgive you. They'd be like, for what? Don't worry about it. Just want you to know I love you. Appreciate you. Some of us have families, don't we? Some of you got family. You don't even want to go to family reunions because you can't. You despise them. And God says, look, there ain't no way to be. He said in verse 4, we've been made together. We've been sitting in heavenly places. He said, I want you to have a little taste of heaven. I want you to know what it's going to be like. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to forgive and forget. And forgive. And if they do it again, what do? You forgive them. Then after that, what do you forgive them. Then after that, can I hit them? No, you forgive them. Then after that, can I run over them? No, you forgive them. And so you go away smiling. You say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for a little bit of heaven on earth. Thank you, Lord. Number one, we got to put Jesus back on the throne. Some of you here, you put yourself on the throne. We've been feeding our wants and our pleasures and all about me, haven't we? Selfie, 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 selfie life. It's all about me. Listen, it's time we put Christ back on the throne, back in his rightful place. What about, hey, you got to get married to the right one. Preach on my marriage. Make it good. He give you heaven on earth. What about, hey, you got to get your eyes on Jesus. God's put authority in all of our lives. It's time to say thank you. Somebody need to go to your pastor and say, pastor, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell you, I'm here. I'm with you. I back you up. I'm a sister there on the mountain. I'll go by the preacher every once in a while, and I'll say, preacher, I'm with you. I'll pat him on the back. I'm with you. I'm behind you. If you need me, I'm with you. I agree with you. Matter of fact, I told him once, I said, I'm even building you up with your boys. I'm with you. I'm behind you. You know what that does to him? Let's get it. Let's go, you know. Go to the authority in life. Say, I'm with you. I'm behind you. I'm going to go with you, right? Communicate with Jesus. Some of you just need to talk to Jesus. I'm not talking about thank you, Lord, for the food. Amen. No, just talk. Lord, thank you. Riding in your car, turn the stinking radio off. Say, let's just talk a while. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for giving me this job. Thank you for giving me this car, air condition. We had a good day, didn't we? Man, it was hot. You see that guy in the Port of John Wesley? Ain't that a blessing? Thank you, Lord, for sending my way. He really blessed me, and I appreciate you doing that. Man, I can't wait to get home and see what you got in your word. You see? Then somebody, you wreck a car. Pow! Whoa, what happened? I was talking to Jesus, and they just pulled out and hit me. You was talking to what? Talking to Jesus. You don't talk to Jesus? Can I tell you about Jesus? You see? Listen, we got to do some things if we want to have heaven on earth. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we need you. Help us tonight, I pray, God. I believe you want us to have the best life that we can have. There's some things we have to do first. Lord, help me. You know, you've spoke to my heart. You've helped me. You've convicted me. You've showed me some things in my life that I need to get right. And I pray that you'd help me with it. I pray that you'd help this church, Lord. I know I'm a poor excuse for a preacher. Brother Steele being here in the good news, Lord, we thank you for it. And I pray maybe something was said. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to a heart, something I didn't say, but you're speaking to them through the word. You would convict and help those. As we all stand across the house, our heads bowed and eyes closed.